We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, halfway through here on a Friday, John Dickinson, the Butcher Boy Joe Shasky, in for Bonte Hill and Matt Steinmetz. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Talking a lot of Giants baseball here on a Friday. Giants lose to the Padres last night, 12-7. They came back again. Another thrilling comeback, forcing extra innings last night. It all got away from them, though, in the extra frames. 888-957-9570. Let's get to Burns here in Fremont. Burns is up here on 95.7 The Game.
What is up, fellas? Just walking back in from the into the construction site. And you guys kind of remind me a little bit of some construction workers when a new construction worker shows up. What happens a lot of times is they're judged, you know, from what they're wearing. What kind of boots are they wearing? What kind of, tools do they have? And they start working, and everybody, all the rest of the crew is just waiting for them to make a mistake so they can run to the foreman and tell them, you know, hey, this guy did this, and he's not doing it the right way. Even though it might be the right way, but it's just not their right way. And that's kind of what you guys sound like, man. I know we've all been hanging out of houses a lot. Everybody's been pent up. The haterade is extremely juicy in your cups. But, man, we got to give this guy a little bit of a leash. Look what he's dealing with. His basically the workhorse, the ace of the team, is off in free agency, right? Buster with the Twins is gone. What is he left with? What is he left with is some young talent that looks awesome, but I hate to say it, the veteran support is weak. And so now, you know, you guys here, you guys never wanted him in the first place. That's the one thing I hear. But I never hear, like, who you really wanted, because that never
Omar
comes
Vizquel.
Up. You just don't want this.
Omar Vizquel.
Huh? Who did you want?
Omar
you
want? I wanted Dusty.
Omar?
Yeah,
Omar
I wanted Dusty.
Yeah. Okay. All
He's
right,
a double
great,
A coach
great.
Right
okay.
now.
Wow, that's a real, yeah, okay. Well, okay.
Right, will you
Burns.
Admit?
Did, appreciate
yeah,
it, man.
I was going to ask Burns. Just everything he said, I won't even disagree, but just admit yesterday was a bad look. And that's what we're talking about. It was a bad look by an MLB manager to not know the rules. Burns can't argue that.
But again, like if we were pouncing for things, we would have been destroying the guy after Thursday
Nobody
and Friday against
him.
LA. No
yeah.
one did.
Okay.
JD, how many different shows have you and I done together, JD? And I'm the one being optimistic. Like, you know, I just like the way they're battling. I'm giving these guys some credit.
Well, there's a difference between being optimistic, you know, being fair. Like, you can be fair and praise, as you've mentioned a couple of different times, praise things that go well. The nuance here is you can praise things that go well, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you believe in him as a manager now. Like, the thing that I keep going back to, and I've given Gabe Kapler credit for a couple of things. And last night we had a caller earlier that brought up, I pointed out on the Bay Area Baseball show that, hey, you know, one thing that Gabe Kapler's really done in his press conferences is he's gone out of his way to praise a player that maybe doesn't get asked about in the context of his answer. And the other night it was Tyler Anderson. You know, he's getting asked about Yastrzemski and Solano, and you know, this guy did that, and he goes out of his way to point out, hey, Tyler Anderson pitched a couple of innings and kept the lead where it was for the Padres, allowed us to come back, and you know, he wants to be a starter. He's not in the role that he wants to be in right now, but we've told him, hey, if you keep doing the job we want you to do, you're going to get a shot. So he goes out of his way to praise. And that to me is a nuance, a thing that I think is positive that you can give a guy credit for. Now, does that mean that I've changed my opinion of him as a manager? No. I've also given him credit for, and Guru, you've mentioned this, you know, his human character was called into question at that press conference when he took the job. His human character, not just his baseball acumen, his human character. So for him to come out and stand up and say, hey, I want an open clubhouse in terms of freedom and dialogue about, you know, legitimate issues like police brutality and systemic racism, and I don't support some of the things that have gone on in the country, and I'm going to take a knee because that's what I believe is right, and I'm going to encourage my players to do whatever they feel is right on either side of it. I'm going to foster a dialogue. I'm going to show everybody that I'm a good human being, and I want everybody in my clubhouse to be a good human being. Like, I've given him credit for that. None of that, Guru and Shasky, matters
baseball
one bit. I tip my cap to him. None of it matters one bit if he can't effectively manage the team between the lines. You can be a good human. You can be a thoughtful guy. You can still be a bad manager. Both things can be true.
Well, yeah, but again, people are losing their minds about us doing what we're supposed to do, watching the games and saying, man, I don't think that was the right decision. Again, no one's saying the guy needs to get out of town. We're waiting. We're just waiting for him to make a mistake. He made a lot of mistakes beforehand. He wasn't a popular hire by anybody's stretch of the imagination. And he's replacing an all-time legend who I thought should have never been ran out of town to begin with in Bruce Bochy. So, yeah, excuse me if I'm a little hypercritical on everything Gabe Kapler does. I just watched the greatest manager in San Francisco Giants history basically get ran out of town by the GM because he wouldn't stick to the Excel spreadsheet enough.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, when you play musical chairs with the bullpen and you bring in the wrong pitcher and he gives up a home run and you took a starter out that maybe still had some gas, those are different mistakes than what we saw transpire last night. And that's why guys like Burns and Gals that think we might be in a bit too harsh, that again, I can't keep saying the E word, it was embarrassing. You did not know your job. You know what I mean, Shasky and JD? And that's why this venom that's being spewed, it's not overboard. It's not too harsh. It's different than taking a pitcher out or making a managerial decision. You went to the mound when there is no excuse in the world for you not to know the rules. And the great managers don't have this on their resume, Joe Shasky. If Bochy has it, please let me know when and where it happened. La Russa, Leland, Earl Weaver, all the greats.
I think we're actually being very fair to Gabe Kapler, and I think we're being quite soft on him in a certain sense. If this happened in New York, or if this happened in Philadelphia again, they would be ready to run this guy out of town. Like, I don't know what Giants fans and what your opinion is of the Bay Area media. He got asked a couple of questions last night, no follow-ups whatsoever on any of the specifics, and we're just talking about what happened last night. Did you stay up and watch it? If you didn't have a problem with it, then I question your baseball intelligence.
Yeah, it's a bad look. It's a bad look for a guy that's had similar issues, you know, with handling a bullpen and awkward, you know, maneuvering and not having pitchers ready and maybe being so overloaded by, you know, all of the information that you're trying to process on a game in, game out basis that you can't focus on the game in front of you. That's the thing that I just keep coming back to is you could talk about analytics and spin rate. And, you know, boy, this guy had pitches left in the tank, and we like this guy in this spot and that guy in another spot. Like, you can do all of those things And because you're so consumed by it, and you've got 20 coaches that you're talking to about all of this stuff, and outfield positioning and infield positioning and trying to get the out at third because the runner started the inning on second base. Like, you can be so focused on all that that you let a very fundamental, basic aspect of the game go right by you. And if you do that, you look like a joke.
Well, and again, I'll take it a step further. Had Girardi done this when he was the coach of the Yankees, this would have led around the horn. This would have led PTI. They would have been all over this. Would they have not? I'm asking sincerely.
That is a great,
if Girardi
totally
did this for the Yankees,
totally
would this
agree.
Not be front of ESPN topic numero uno?
Back of the New York Times, you know, with their little whatever.
Exactly.
They make a little rap out of it.
I mean, exactly. Again, there's enough people out here that are being level-headed about it. We're not saying he can't recover from it. We're just saying, watch the sequence of events last night. It was a complete head-scratcher and a bad look.
And the thing that I keep coming back to, Goo, is, okay, yes, can he overcome it? I think he can, but I think that's where the conversation changes a little bit for me, because he doesn't overcome it by them getting a win tonight. Like,
doesn't...
Like you can get a win tonight, and that's fine, and you can get praise for it, but you don't overcome it by getting a win tonight. You overcome it by, you know, at the end of the year on September 27th,
yeah, the totality.
You're 31-29, and I go, you know,
JD,
what? I thought you guys were going to win 23 or 24 games. You won 31. You're in the postseason as a 7 or an 8 seed. You know what, Gabe Kapler? You did a better job as a whole, even though you had the gaffe in game 6. You've done, or game 7, you've done a better job as a whole. Like, it's going to take a minimum of that for me to at least be a little bit more open-minded, because I am grading him on the scale, Goo, of his tenure in Philly was a joke, and he got hired here following a guy that's won 3 World Series. Like, all of those things matter to me.
Right, and I'll say this. Oh, go ahead, Shasky.
No, it's just the way I'm looking at this thing, like, it's not just him, too. Like, I'm looking at lineups and things like that, and I'm scratching my head. Like, Farhan, how much influence do you have on insisting that Hunter Pence remains a DH, insisting that Pablo Sandoval remains a DH? You're only as good as the ingredients you're given. Like, that I will absolutely grant Kapler, and that's where I don't know who has more control, Kapler, Farhan. Like, I want to know more about that decision-making process on an every single day basis when it comes to the lineup.
And when I think of a good manager, I think of presence. And if everything you're doing is on the iPad or has to be put through the computer, then Kapler is just a guy. He's just a guy that you can replace with 50 other million guys, because you're not trusting your eyes or your gut. And I'll say this, JD, why I'm so overzealous on what happened last night, it's like a test. And there may have only been one problem on that test, and he missed it. So they could win 6 in a row, and that doesn't guarantee you can get back what you lost in some Giant fans' minds last night. And that's why it's not just a given, Shasky, that you show up today, you can win 11-1. Nah, buddy, that ain't what this is about. This is about when the house is on fire, you know what you're doing and all the bylaws. And last night on 3rd and King, you went out there and made your pitcher Rogers turn his butt around and walk back on the bump. And what did he say after the game? He had his manager's back. Rogers, oh, I was cool with it. You know, it was just a walk. And I'm thinking, how embarrassed is he for his manager to not know the damn rules? Got to know the rules, fellas.
Well, And you know, again, look at what happened immediately after. The bunt play, to me, spoke volumes. And, JD, you could say they were in panic mode, they were in rattle mode. That was Bad News Bears type stuff. That's what it was. Go back and watch it, people. I have it on the DVR.
They almost got him. I know he was
Heinemann
safe, but
should have been staying at home the entire time. It was honest to God. It was one of those ones that's like, what are we doing? Come on, guys, what are we doing here? I mean, it's not a good look. And it's not that it's not redeemable. It's just a really bad, bad look. And it's going to take time to be redeemed.
Yeah. And JD, what does it look like for him to fix this? Like I said, there was one problem on the test like this, what he botched last night. It may not rear its head the rest of the season for him to get that back.
He just has to win and continue to show competence. Like that's my, like, it's not,
competence.
There isn't, it's not a, because look, and this is a point that maybe we haven't addressed enough during the show today. Like, we're talking about the specific gaffe and the embarrassment of he goes to take Rodgers out and he's not allowed to take Rodgers out because Andrew Bailey had been to the Met. We're talking about that. The reality is that in and of itself is not what cost the Giants the game. The Giants, didn't get a run in when they had a chance to go ahead before it went to extras. You know, should Rodgers have even been out there for crying out loud to start the 10th inning? Should he have taken Rodgers out quicker once, he didn't have it in that 10th inning? Like, all of those things are still questions and still, Butch, things that we could have a debate as to whether or not he was right or wrong about, and that's before you get to the embarrassing aspect of it. So it's not just, hey, we're honing in on this one piece of it.
No, we're not. If we're being fair and we roll it back for the last couple of years, Bochy's been a little slow on the trigger when it comes to yanking a guy. He hasn't had the Midas touch that he's had in years past. He's still great. But again, if you watch every Dodger series for the last 2 years, I felt like Dave Roberts has had the upper hand. Obviously, he's had the upper hand when it comes to personnel. But I'm talking about sense of urgency and making moves within a game. Yank a guy here. Let's get this guy up. Let's go to this matchup. Let's do a double switch. Those things, it's like trying to balance an orchestra. I mean, it really is. So far, like last night, I didn't like the way they were handling the pitching staff. I just didn't like it at all.
Let's get to the calls, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson, Joe Shasky, Daryl the Guru Johnson. It's Bonte, Steiny, and Guru as we are in for Bonte and Steiny. Jake and Alameda. Jake, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Great show. You know, I'm thinking, Gabe Kapler doesn't want to do anything on the offensive side of the game. He doesn't believe in bunting, so he basically doesn't do anything. He doesn't work with the hitters. Then he wants to go to the defensive side of the game, which moves a lot faster than the offensive side because you're calling pitches. You got to know how these guys. I don't really think he understands or knows what to look for in pitching and hitting anyway. He's basically a glorified little league coach. He looks like it even, and when he's watching the game, maybe watching the game, you're wondering like, he doesn't even know what to look for. So he's going to do this, do that, do this, and anybody could do that. And if you want to talk about Bruce Bochy, that guy was definitely overrated. 2010, Giants were in last place. He never worked with hitters, and that's why he blew about 5 years of the Giants winning more titles because he can't teach hitting. Farhan can't teach hitting, so he don't know what to look for. So everyone there is going to go, we got to go get somebody that knows something about hitting. But we don't know what to look. They're just grabbing anybody. Oh, your name's Donnie Ecker. Why don't you come over here and teach these guys how to hit? Oh, okay, I'm going to talk about launch angle. But they don't know how to teach hitting, and they don't know what to look for. They can't go down there and help somebody with their bunting, and that's basic. So you got people running the show; they can't even do the basic job of the job description. That's why Billy Martin's in the Hall of Fame. He could do everything. He could be the GM, the manager, the minor league coach. He could do everything. Player development. And these
Thanks, Jake.
Can't do anything.
Appreciate it, Jake.
Yeah.
Gave Jake some good run there. Bruce Bochy's one of the greatest of all time, period.
I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
Point blank. Like, so you lost me there. Like, I was rolling with it, but you go down that road.
Credibility down the drain.
I always have to make the point because I know Bonte and Steiny especially, like, they, when I fill in on this show, I want to make sure I'm giving the callers their leeway. Because I have a little bit of a quicker hook. Like, I have a little quicker hook than those guys.
Speaking of Steiny, I brought him up, fellas, and he texts me, keep my name out your mouth, not your, yo. I said, okay, I'm off Steiny.
My man.
Enjoying some soda, probably listening to the show. Anyway.
Look, again, but this goes back to my original opinion of Kapler at the beginning. Man, the shadow that Bruce Bochy cast over this organization, whoever was going to take over, it was an unbelievable straight-up hill climb. You almost had to, I mean, serious to God, you almost had to come out and win a World Series in the first year or two for anyone to even accept you. I mean, this is the same thing that happened with Montana and Steve Young, and you see it across sports. Like, at one point, someone will be, whoever the next point guard is behind Steph Curry will have the exact same problem.
Yeah, no, well, Butcher, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I do get the ghost of Bochy. That's about wins and losses. Kapler has nobody to blame about why his name is in the news because he didn't know the rules. That's different. That leads me to a bigger question of his decision making in the crunch. Is he the man for the job? When, you know, that's like showing up to a game, Butch, and you left your shorts. You don't got your shorts under your warm up.
Well, you know, baseball.
It was under that category, JD.
And no cleats, no hat, no glove, no play. I mean, that's Little League. I mean,
well,
no,
see you later.
Yeah.
By the way, the Giants have announced that Logan Webb is going to start tonight. So I know they've been kind of day-to-day with their starters. So Logan Webb, he started the game on Saturday, Dodgers.
He pitched great. It was JD, don't you think that was probably the best start of the year? And apologies for cutting you there. But, like, I think Webb's given him the strongest outing thus far, if I were to rank all of the starts that the pitchers have had, not the openers.
Yeah,
I'm talking about guys that actually went out there.
Yeah,
I'd put Johnny Cueto's opening night start up there for his four.
Good
innings.
Call.
I would have left him in, JD. Yeah,
but you know that's another conversation. Hey, we want to let everybody know Angelo Cataldi is going to join us at 1 o'clock.
Angelo Cataldi,
longtime morning show host in Philadelphia at WIP, and you know he's had a few back and forths with Gabe Kapler going back to his 2 years with the Phillies the last 2 years, including last year, a legendary back and forth with Kapler when Andrew McCutchen got hurt because Gene Segura didn't run out a ground ball. It all led to McCutchen getting hurt. So we're going to play sound of that coming up, and then Angelo's going to join us, Shasky, at the top of the hour.
Yeah. JD, I want everyone to understand this. Bill Walsh still gets referenced today. He's been dead for 14 years. I love Bill Walsh. We all
R.I.P. the legend.
Hasn't coached a game since 1989, okay? Like for the NFL. He still gets referenced. Bruce Bochy will be a reference point for whoever the San Francisco manager is moving forward. That's just, unfortunately, that's kind of how sports is. Like, I don't think it's fair, but that's how it goes.
Well, it's part of it, but here's the thing. Like, you know, Gabe Kapler, like, I think it's part of it, but I don't think that's an overwhelming part of it. Like, if Gabe Kapler is competent, if Gabe Kapler doesn't have to be Bruce Bochy, Gabe Kapler just has to be competent. Gabe Kapler.
And last night he wasn't, JD.
That wasn't a competent move.
Okay.
You know what Gabe Kapler has to do? Gabe Kapler has to, regardless of whether you agree with what, you know, whether Rodgers should have been in or gone out for the 10th or Gott should have been in or he should have gone himself, regardless of any of that, because we can all debate that till we're blue in the face and we might be right or we might be wrong. But what Gabe Kapler can't do is he can't make the embarrassing gaffe on top of the other things. If Gabe Kapler is just a ho-hum, just going to go by the analytics, going to go by the book, going to just, you know, just be totally just right down the middle with everything. If he just does that and doesn't make any moves that are a complete and utter embarrassment, like last night's move was, a bad look for a major league manager. If he does that, whether he's Bruce Bochy or not, probably isn't even going to matter. But the reality is he can't do that. And if he can't do that, he's sunk before he even starts. And there are no amount of wins other than, you know, being a major, you know, major overachiever to where he's going to be able to defeat that.
But JD, like, again, in my estimation, they've already been overachieving, and that's why I was feeling good about them. Like, I really was.
Have they really?
I know you weren't, but I felt, yes, I felt like they were. I thought this was a dumpster fire. I really did. I thought this was a team that might not win 15 games. And
it still could
to see them battle,
well,
I know, but I'm saying to see them battle, it was encouraging. It was really encouraging.
Yeah.
But
I told you this, JD.
Yeah. I feel like Gabe's playing with house money. Farhan hired him knowing you don't got much on the farm. You don't got much on the big club. Just don't embarrass us. And last night, he embarrassed us. And that's what can do him in, JD. I know you talked about the 60-game season possibly being one and done if it was 162. But all Farhan asks is to be competent. And last night, he wasn't, man. And what if we see something like that again two or three times? You think Farhan's going to be like, dude, I just told you it wasn't about the wins and losses. It was about you embarrassing us and making me look bad on why I brought you to town. I mean, Kapler, don't do it again. Don't have any other screw-ups of that magnitude. That's all
well,
I'm saying.
Well, and look, I don't think Farhan's going to be coming down his road. I really don't. Like, I think if anything,
even
Farhan's going
to last night.
No. Look, Farhan hired him. Farhan's going to back him. Look, yeah, and I've said this when he got hired, and this is before the pandemic and everything else. Like, Farhan dipped into his capital a little bit that he had built up last year, you know, to hire a guy that was unpopular, and my take on it was flat out. He was going to have to dip into his capital again to get him a second year, because I thought if he had to manage 162, people would want him fired after the first year, because there would be enough little things like last night, and the record wouldn't be good enough, and people would want him gone. Now, the 60-game year gives him another shot. The 60-game year means that this is a free pass, but I don't see, Farhan is going to double and maybe even triple down on Gabe Kapler, unless it becomes just an absolute calamity. Wow. Now, has it been that? No, I don't think it's even been close to that, although instances like last night again are a concern along that front. Last word to you this segment, Chasky.
Yeah, just go out and beat the Rangers this series. Like, honestly, go back and swing the momentum back in your favor. Beat the Rangers this weekend, and let's go. I mean, like, honestly, like that. I told you, it's credits and demerits. Like, I'm working off the information I'm getting every single day, and that's all I'm doing.
All right, Angelo Cataldi is going to join us as we tell you what's coming up here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Harris Ranch Beef, the voice of Philly sports. We'll have the sound of his heated back and forth with Gabe Kapler from last year coming up next. And that's all sponsored by Harris Ranch Beef.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, rolling along here on a Friday, John Dickinson and Joe Chasky in for Bonte and Steiny. Daryl the Guru Johnson here, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, coming up here on 95.7 The Game. More phone calls, as well as it's going to be a pleasure to be joined by Angelo Cataldi coming up at 1 o'clock, longtime morning show host in Philadelphia at WIP. We'll get to him at the top of the hour. And, guys, we also have coming up here some sound from an exchange that Angelo had with Gabe Kapler last year during Kapler's time with the Phillies. I want to clean up some phone calls, though, at 888-957-9570. Do we still have JG in Livermore on the line? Let's go to JG on 95.7 The Game.
Jimmy G?
Hello?
Hey, what's JG? Up, JG?
Hey, what's up? What's up, fellas? Good show. I just want to talk about a big mistake Kapler made last night. Maybe worse than the pitching thing with Rogers. Starting Brandon Belt in the four hole to clean up. How many guys did he leave on base last night? About eight with no out, maybe one out, swinging through 95-mile-an-hour fastballs right down the middle. I mean, if he's a numbers guy, I thought Brandon Belt was dead. I didn't even know he was alive, and all of a sudden he's popping up on my TV. I don't get it. What do you guys think?
I'm so with you. I'm so over the Brandon
Belt
thing.
Bush,
and he got a couple
got
of walks. He got
I
a couple
wanted to
of walks.
See him.
But this is the thing that drives me nuts. Like, he gets a couple of walks. He ain't going nowhere. He can't run. He can't run the
but
bases.
Listen.
Yes, it's great. But, I mean, he needs to put the ball in play. That's
we know he has the hole in his swing. It was the belt high, no pun intended, the belt high fastball. For whatever reason, he can't get to that. But last night, there were two hangers, curveballs, that he struck out. I'm just like, dude, Butch, I get the fat. Come on, these are hangers. You're supposed to deposit them in China Basin, and he strikes out. I don't want to hear about the walks.
Yeah, but Guru, here. So I'm not outraged that Brandon Belt's playing. Like, he probably, should be playing, because he is one of their better players, which is more of an
killer.
Indictment on the roster. Okay, but
killer.
I do have a problem with him in the four hole. So I don't even know if that's Kapler's fault, though. Like, is that Farhan? Is that they're trying to be loyal to him? I'm not really sure. Like, I don't get it. But whatever happened, he left a ton of guys on base last night.
Man.
But so did Longoria, and so did Pablo. Yeah. I mean, it was, JD, what do you got?
Belt and Longoria both came off the DL, and look, before the game, that was treated as, hey, two of the Giants' better players are back. They're in the lineup.
It.
It's going to
yep.
make the
yep.
lineup deeper. It's going to make their bench deeper as far as the four and the five hole. Look,
Longo
the numbers
got a hit.
Say slugging percentage as a lefty, Belt a lefty against right-handed pitching. They really believe that he could provide a lot of help in the lineup in terms of that power threat. That to me, I mean, is it on Kapler? Yes, but I think they're viewing it as, hey, Goo, these are a couple of our horses. These are a couple of our big bats. You know, they're going to play. They're going to be a major part of things.
Yeah, and Steiny was giving me, you know, he was giving me grief because I was looking forward to it. But when you got marginal talent, Shasky, and you don't have a lot of talent or proven guys, who are you to you know, stick your nose up at a guy like Longoria who's hit 37 home runs in a season and made an all-star game, and Brandon Bell. Last night it didn't work out, but I'll say this about Longo. He hit one to dead center, I mean, almost at Triple's Alley. I forget the center fielder's name for San Diego. He robbed him.
He made a great catch.
He made a great catch. But he had a hit too, but Belt got walked. So I'm eager to see every day, is it the computer or some Guru. Reporter asked Gabe, who's doing the lineup? How much of your fingerprints are on this lineup? Because you might laugh at this, fellas. He's going to have to make some tough choices. And it may start with moving Belt out the four hole. Imagine if Posey was in the lineup. Would you put him seventh or eighth where he really is acting like he belongs? Or is it name recognition to where you're afraid to tackle those issues?
Roster politics is real, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. I mean, there's no question that is. Grisham made a hell of a play on that Longoria catch. But here's my problem. Like, again, this is why I've never been a Belt fan. Watch that play. Watch his base running on that play. No. It hit into Triple's Alley. If it goes by Grisham, you are scoring standing up. There was no need to flying around second base on that play. And it was a hell of a play by Grisham. But just go back to the base run. Like, what are you doing?
Tatis made a bad throw. He
almost got doubled up.
He did, but again, that's on Brandon Bell. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
But I mean, that's not fundamentals. Because Kapler ain't teaching somebody
it's
how
called
to
basic
run. It's been in at least 10 years.
I like fundamentals.
Robin in San Francisco is up next here. Hey, Robin.
Hey.
Hey, you guys. Hey, Guru. So I have a couple of questions, a few comments, and then a couple of questions, because I don't profess to be a baseball like I am about the rest. I mean, somebody had to tell me that, you know, the pitchers don't go to the seventh inning anymore. But I have a question. First of all, is what Gabe Kapler did last night the equivalent to what the New Orleans coach did when he threw for that 3rd and 17th and just forgot the rules because it was a punt return?
Robin, real quick. Here's the. I'll give you the equivalent real quick, and I'm not cutting you off.
Give it to us.
Chris Webber. Okay. It's like Chris Webber calling a timeout when he knows he didn't have a timeout. That's what it reminded me of. It was situational awareness.
Or like JR.
Yes, exactly.
Got you. Okay. Second thing you can answer probably for me when I go is why is Pablo playing first base? And then I want to ask you, Ryan Covey said this morning that he thought maybe if the veterans could somehow get some hits and get the team going, that the pieces could click in. And then my last question is this. It seems to me that the sports is turning into all of them, analytics. Is Kapler really calling the plays? Is he a yes man, doing exactly what Flyhead is telling him and playing by the Excel sheets? It kind of reminds me a little bit of Shanahan with Jimmy Garoppolo. Just follow my playbook and just do what I say. And that's kind of a turnoff to me in sports. So there it is. That's all I got. More questions than I do comments. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thanks, Robin.
Bye.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate it.
I love Robin.
She's in the Hall of Fame of BS&G, yeah.
Absolutely.
Come back and get your damn dog.
She comes from a great family.
She's a bum.
You know, look, it is all analytics. I mean, it is. Like,
it's ruining the sports, man.
But the one thing you got to keep in mind, especially as it pertains to Kapler, and look, I've been on all these, you know, press conferences, and he does, like, you really got to be paying attention to it every day because there are times where he explains moves that aren't totally by the book. You know, and we praised him the other night at the Bay Area Baseball Show, Butch, because
big
you know,
for what?
Solano was in the game against a righty.
Okay. A righty, yes.
I got
you. Yes, and Yaz went up against lefties, and then what's-his-face got a hit against a righty. Slater. Yes. They don't normally play Slater against righties.
Right. Okay.
And I think if you look at some of the moves, Guru, early on, a lot of the moves that got dissected last week, okay, pinch hitting for Brandon Crawford. That's a numbers move, right?
Okay.
Not pinch hitting for Brandon Crawford 2 days later was a feel move. Like there's times where he's doing both. So you gotta, like, if we're really gonna get into this on a day in, day out basis, you really gotta pay attention to it. I'm not saying anybody's not, but like, you got to really be locked into it, because there are going to be times where he basically tells you it's the numbers, and there's going to be times where he basically tells you, yeah, I played my gut.
See, I don't like that, Shasky. That's inconsistency. That's inconsistency. If you got to do one. You got to do it your way, and you got to trust your gut. Oh, one day I'm going to do it this way, and just because it's – and that's how managers get fired. You can't do it all. You got to have a system intact to where you're trusting your gut, and you got to have a feel for the game. Shasky, I'm going to do it this way one day, and I'm going to change it the other day. You ain't a pitcher.
Me personally, I think you use all of that as a tool to help guide your gut. That's what I think. I think there's a good blend of the analytics with the gut. But the problem is that I'm just not understanding the logic and how they're connected. I'm not seeing good judgment based off the numbers to dictate gut feeling decisions in game. Like, that's what I would like from my manager. I would like a healthy balance of the two. Like, for example, last night, he's saying Rodgers, his pitch count, you know, we were loving his pitch count at that point. Well, I wasn't loving the way he was getting barreled up, and I would have had somebody up, and my eyeballs were telling me he needed to come out of that game. So I had an issue with their analytical approach to that situation when my gut was telling me this is the game right here.
Look, you can use the analytics to help your gut. You can't use your gut to decide when you're going to use the analytics. Like, I think those, like,
why do you say that?
Well, because then you're basically using it as an excuse at that particular point. Like, if you got hired because you're going to follow the script and then you don't follow the script, well, like, why did you get hired anyway? Like, if you're going to be, Gabe Kapler is the manager of the Giants because he was going to follow the script and he was going to be able to communicate it and all of this stuff, explain it to the media, explain it to the fans, explain it to the players. Like, you don't get the job if you're Gabe Kapler because you have a Bruce Bochy-like gut. You got the job because you're going to follow what's on the iPad and execute it and make sure it's harmonious every time you do it. So if you're basically saying to Gabe Kapler, you're the Giants, yeah, we trust your gut. Follow your gut. Well, if you're having a manager at all right now that's following his gut, then he shouldn't be the manager. You should have Bruce Bochy or somebody else be the manager.
Exactly. Which goes back to my original thing, which is, if I was looking for the best manager out on the market, you already had that guy. And that's where I got frustrated from the front end. Like, I readily admit, I'm biased toward Bochy. How can you not be? So
maybe he wanted
guy,
Galito, Shasky. Maybe
no,
Bush,
he might have.
You know what
we
mean?
Don't know. He might have in his timing, and maybe he just wanted a different scenery. Maybe he didn't want to work with Farhan. Maybe it was mutual. Like, we don't know. But that doesn't mean that I don't still long for Bruce Bochy, fair or
and I'll
not.
Say
and
this.
That has nothing to do with Kapler.
I'll say this, JD. Legends are made, you know, managers, coaches, different situations. And you brought this up earlier, both of you. In 2010, they're playing the Dodgers, the Giants are. Mattingly goes and gets Broxton, has a visit. Coming off the mound, going back to the dugout, turns around and says something else. Bochy comes running out the dugout, said, no, you can't do that. That counts as two visits. The Giants were down. They had to remove Broxton right then and there, fellas, and the Giants came back and won that game. My point is, that falls under chess. Bochy is playing chess when you know the rules and you use them to your advantage. That's called leverage, Shasky. And again, I know I'm being redundant, but we've been talking about it for 3 hours. What we saw last night may be what Gabe Kapler's tenure as a Giant manager ends up being. And I know you're going, oh, that's a hot take. You're being negative. That very well could be it, JD and Shasky.
Buck in Beaumont. Buck, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Great show, fellas. The depth on the show is phenomenal. It reminds me of the strength and numbers of the Warriors back in 2014-15. But some of these Bay Area callers that are saying the media too hard, have these guys ever been to Boston, Philly, or New York, or even Texas, fellas, during football season? I remember when Barry Switzer replaced Jimmy Johnson. Man, they wanted to run Jerry Jones not only out of Texas, but out of the great nation. The media here, let me tell you guys, And you talk about the beat writers that we have here, Matt Maiocco, Susan Flesher, Hank Shulman. These guys are professionals, but they show so much class. When you guys talk to Angelo, and let me tell you something, when you say Angelo in Philly, it's only one word, and it's not Angelo Dundee. Angelo, hey, this guy brings it hard. So anyway, guys, I love the show.
Thank you.
I feel bad. I got on my man Guru the other day. It actually made a promo. Guru, I owe you lunch, man, because it's not worth losing a friendship to get 100 laughs. Or maybe it is.
Hey, real quick, what did you say? What did you say?
Well, what I did is I compared Guru's career to John Lynch and Shanahan. I said before the season started, it was shaky. We weren't sure what was going to happen with Guru. And then after the 49ers season last year, we knew we had a gold mine. And I said the same thing about Guru. And let me tell you something. All my friends from California called me and were texting me, actually, and giving me a bad time. But real quick, you guys need to ban bad callers like the Renegade. He's been banned in 7 different counties in the great state of Texas.
Thanks, Buck.
The love. The checks
great
in the mail.
Great stuff. Cool. Again, Kapler needs someone like Buck on his side right now, man. That's what he needs. That's a friend right there. I like that.
Do we have any Angelos? And I love my beat reporters in the Bay. Do we have any Angelos in the Bay that would have made that Zoom call go a bit different last night for Kapler?
I don't think that's fair.
It's not a bad thing. I'm just, do we throw fastballs in high heat out here?
Well, look, there's a difference between it happening in a press conference and happening on a radio show. Like, if Gabe Kapler was coming on my radio show once a week, I'd be getting into it with Gabe Kapler about everything. I would have told Gabe Kapler last October that I think he's going to fail.
How long would that show last?
Well, depends on where I'm doing it. Am I doing it on the
top floor?
But there's a difference.
I agree with you.
And there's also a difference between somebody that has a relationship with somebody and somebody that's just trying to hear themselves talk in a press conference. Which there are people that intentionally come in and try to incite things.
Wow.
So let me ask you a question then. So how Gabe Kapler is treated? How is that any different? Forget Bochy because he's the unicorn. Then let's say Chip Kelly, Tom Sula, Harbaugh, Shanahan when he started off 0-9, Mark Jackson before him. Are there any – is Kapler treated any less or any worse than those other people that we've referenced? I'm trying to put a reference point together.
I think to this point Kapler's been treated fairly. He's managed 7 games. He got asked about it. He got asked about the reputation last night. In Philly, are you worried that, hey, that reputation sticks? And you're worried about maybe getting off to, continuing that reputation now. He got it, he tried to circumvent it by making an opening statement last night, but he kind of gave everything that, in a lot of ways needed to be said. Again, you got a lot of people that are trying to hurry it up and get on out of there. Like, that's not always the time to be that guy. You know what I mean? It's different. And yes, it's different. 20 games from now, it might be different than a week into the season, too.
So let me ask you, when you're in the press box at San Francisco Giants Stadium, you're at Oracle Park, are they replaying things? Are you getting just a regular television feed? Because, again, like I said, watching it in real time, if there wasn't any audio attached to it, you would have no idea what was going on. Second, even with the audio, the first time I was a little confused. So after the inning ended, I rewound it, went back, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is how it went down. Because again, I didn't have any clarity. I can imagine being in, the press box or whatever, like you just don't. It's hard to understand what's going on. This happens to me when I'm at Levi's. I have no idea what's really going on.
JD told us there was audio. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Well, so when you're in the press box, do they know?
You do have the feed, but you have the video. You have the broadcast, but you don't have the audio. You don't have the audio from the broadcast.
Okay.
If you want to watch that on your iPad or something, you can. Yeah. But again, I'll give the writers specifically, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt in this instance. Again, they had a couple of different rewrites last night. Like, it was a dud game to a great win to they blew it, and now there's this weird play. So
is there a radio feed?
No.
There is not a radio feed.
A monitor.
Gotcha. Okay, because I'm trying to paint the picture.
You can. Yeah. I mean, if you,
gotcha.
like, there's time, like I always have my iPad, whether I might put that game on or another game on, I'm always keeping score, so I stay locked in. Even at home now, I'm keeping score, you know, as I'm watching and we're doing these shows. So you got to stay locked in. Everybody has their own varying degrees of, you know, what they do to stay locked in on the game. But again, in fairness, there are a lot of guys rewriting their stories at that particular point in time when all that was going on. And, oh, by the way, the game was over already, technically. You know what I mean? They'd already given up four runs.
Yeah.
So the angle at that point is more – it's not till after the fact. Like, and I'll give you an example. It wouldn't surprise me if a portion of Gabe Kapler's pregame press conference today is
I agree with this.
Being asked okay. more right. direct questions about it. Sometimes in that moment, like we all think of the – we all think of the guy that's going to come in, you know, swinging like, hey, I'm going to be the guy that's going to make an ass out of this
yeah,
dude.
Right.
And the reality is a lot of times post game, that isn't always the time to do it. You know, a lot of because, times that isn't. Yeah. Go ahead, Goo.
So
no, I was just going to say, Shasky, the person, Gabe Kapler, the person won me over when he took a knee. And it wasn't shtick. I read an article. His parents were activists. So that's in mm-hmm. his blood. He's not down for the racism. And I'm not trying to be this guy, but I just want to throw this to you because I don't know why last night when I listened to that Zoom call and saw that presser after the game, this just crossed my mind. Do you think that goodwill, because he got some, how much I don't know amongst the beat reporters in the Bay. Do you think that gave him to where if they wanted to throw a one high and in, they might have thought about, you know what?
Yeah, but
he's a good guy. We're not going to come like that right now. He's got to do something egregious again and again before we give him that Philly Angelo treatment.
I'm going to be real. Like, I think the guy who called in about the construction site is 100% correct because human nature is we discriminate on anyone and everyone on first sight. What are you wearing? What are you looking like? You know, how do you talk? How do you walk? Like, I just think that human nature, people do that. I think people do that. People were dug in whether they were going to give him the benefit of the doubt or not before the season started. I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. Absolutely. But you know how I am. I go flying off the rails when I'm watching these games because I want to win every single game knowing that you can't. And I've been, again, crediting and demeriting him from time to time, going back and forth. I'm not sure where every single individual is, but I know this. There is a segment of the fans that is going to give him a pass no matter what, and there's going to be another segment of the fans that are going to be ripping him no matter what, fair or not. But that's kind of life, though, Goo, right? I mean, isn't life kind of like that?
It was right, Angelo, life was like that for him in Philly. Sorry, J.D.
Yep. No, you're all right. Angelo, I want to get to this sound from Angelo Cataldi before we have him on here at the top of the hour. Longtime morning show host in Philadelphia. He had a back and forth last year with Gabe Kapler regarding Gene Segura not running out of ball, which led to Andrew McCutchen being injured. Let's go ahead and play that for you right here.
I don't consider it scapegoating when you lost your best player because he didn't run. You're not even acknowledging that him not running led to the injury to McCutchen. You honestly don't see 1-1 equaling 2?
I absolutely do not see 1-1.
Wow, that's amazing.
What I see happen, like I said, Kutch stumbled out of the box. He didn't have his feet under him. Once he got his balance,
right,
he wasn't able to run as hard as he usually does. He acknowledged that, and talking about acknowledgement, I'm acknowledging that.
Okay.
He can do a better job running out of the batter's box.
Right.
I'm also acknowledging that our center fielder at the time, our leadoff hitter, got hurt in a major way, and that sucks. I'm saying it's not Segura's fault, and to say that it is absolutely irresponsible.
Oh, it is. Well, then you better tell the whole city because everybody thinks that was the reason.
Angelo, you don't speak for the whole city.
I talk to a hell of a lot more fans than you do.
You talk to the guys that call in, the men and women that call
in. And the ones that email me, and the ones that are on Twitter, and the other people.
Are
you trying to tell me you're more plugged into the city than I am? Is that what you're going to say?
Not.
You've been on the West Coast for a week, Gabe.
I'll tell you this. What you're plugged into are the people that call in to your show, not all of the fans of Philadelphia like you represent.
Yeah, we actually polled this question, and 85% of the people said that Segura should have been held accountable far more than you did. So that's over 5,000-6,000 people. That's not enough either for you, Gabe. How many do you need before you realize that you're actually not in tandem with what's going on in your own city?
your sample, the sample that you're drawing from,
too small.
Very specific sample.
Too small. All right. Okay. One last thing. Would you do anything differently about this week, Gabe? You had to do it all over again.
I think the one thing that I would do differently is probably. I think I may have handled this show a little bit different. I think I got a little bit frustrated with you. I am very frustrated with you.
Okay.
And I might have handled the show different. Otherwise,
okay.
I'd have to go back and look at everything in isolation. But right now,
maybe not
pretty
do
perturbed.
It.
I think you didn't handle the show in a fair and reasonable way.
Okay.
And that's probably the thing I'm most disappointed in, is the way you handled the show.
Well, I'm disappointed in some of the answers, so I guess we're equal on that. Gabe?
Sounds good. Look forward to next week, Angelo. This is going to be fun.
I'm counting the days. Thank you, Gabe. Take care, bud. Gabe Kapler. And I'm going to just, I'm changing the question right now. Was I unfair to him, Mel?
No, you asked questions.
Was I unfair? I need to know if I was unfair.
No.
Because he clearly said at the end he felt he was not treated fairly. Well, so I want to know if I was unfair.
No, that's been your stance from the beginning.
Dying on the hill that play didn't lead to McCutchen. I mean,
it's totally illogical.
The problem is you had to go back and forth with him on it because, you know, you just can't set. You can't keep going to a ball in a previous inning. I had no problem with any of his answers up until he gave that one to you.
Guru.
All right.
JD.
There you go.
I don't ever want to hear about us out here being too hard on anyone after hearing that. But that's not
real.
Even contentious.
It was real.
That's what I'm
that
saying. But that's how they treat their sports.
Well, and I give Gabe Kapler credit, though, because Gabe Kapler's doing that show every week, and Gabe Kapler knows what he's going to get going into it. So, actually, we talk about things to give Gabe Kapler credit for.
Yes.
I'll actually give him a tip of the cap for doing it and handling it.
I thought he handled it great, actually, considering how contentious. Again, I ask out loud, like, maybe Damon, I don't know. Is there a member of the media who would be so forthright with someone that you guys know? Like, I don't know anybody. Everybody's pretty, you know, we're all chill. Nobody takes it that serious.
That is a good call.
Well, look, you got to be established. I mean, here's the thing.
Exactly.
You got to have your own reputation. You know what? I don't think any of the three of us could necessarily do that.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because I'd end up being friends with Kapler by the end. That's how me and Guru work.
It depends on the stock that you have built up and your reputation.
No doubt,
in the market.
JD.
And, I mean, not everybody could get away with that. You know, I could.
You
got to
have some equity. You got to have some equity.
You know what? I could be a swing and you know what on the Zoom conference, and he'd be like, who's this guy? Get him the hell out of here. And I'd keep showing up every day. But here's the
Who
thing.
Are you?
Like, it's, you know, everybody has their own risk reward analysis. But
that
I
was
think
awesome.
For the most part,
I agree with Angelo because Segura should have happened to him for not running, and Kutch wouldn't have got hurt in that instance.
You
got to
Google it
to turn his knee.
Angelo's going to join us coming up next, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.